Well, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations, and thank you for joining us on our Facebook Live broadcast. And for those of you who are watching us on our recorded session, either on Facebook, on YouTube, or on our podcast. Tonight, our special guest is Kathleen Cotter-Lawler, the VP and General Manager for Right Start Math. Welcome, Kathleen.
Welcome. Thank you. Very nice to be here.
Yes, we're glad to have you too. And thank you for just joining us tonight and agreeing to talk on a subject that I know many of our parents always are asking about, and that's math.
Absolutely.
You know, building a solid foundation. And oftentimes we don't think about that. We think about, you know, can I get the right curriculum and go from there? But there's so much more to that. And I'm so glad that we're going to be talking about that tonight and just how to build that and to be mindful of it in the first place and to make sure that it's there before you get too far ahead and then realize it's not.
You've missed the foundation. Yes. And it is amazing how many times I will meet people, whether they be 8 years old or 16 years old or sometimes 40 years old, and they don't have the basics. They don't have that foundation. And you have to have that foundation so you can build on it. So that's what we're going to be talking about, is building a solid foundation.
Well, that's awesome. So before we start on the specifics about that, I want you to share with our audience a little bit about your own background and kind of how your foundation in math was built and just in your family in general, because I know that you're multi-generational in your approach to math, and there's a neat story behind that. So I'd love for you to share that with us first.
All right. Thank you, Peggy. Again, my name is Kathleen, and my mother is Dr. Joan Cotter, who is the curriculum writer for Right Start Math. She developed that. I am the oldest of the three children, so I was the guinea pig. So I was taught traditionally, I mean, drill and kill, you know, be quiet, memorize this, you know, don't give this a second thought. And I did okay, because I'm a girl, I can memorize stuff, I got it. And then my sister did the same. And then my brother came along, and he was in third grade, and he was literally throwing up every day in math class. Well, both of my parents are engineers. And they're like, we didn't drop this kid on his head. What's his problem? Mm-hmm. And so they took him out of that school and took him into probably today what we would call a charter school. And this particular school had the guidelines that all parents had to give so many hours of their time to help make the school function. Well, my mother's an engineer. My brother's busy throwing up in math. We should probably fix this problem. And so she started to create card games to help him learn his math facts. And she's doing this, and the kids are starting to play it. And, you know, she's helping in class. And somebody said, you know, these are really good. You should write this down. And she went, what? And so she started to write it down. And that was actually the beginning of her work. Wow. Then from there, and by the way, my brother now is a very successful engineer himself. He no longer throws up. He makes very good money and recovered. Yes.
He's recovered.
he has a recovering math problem. Yes. But then from there, she went on and started to teach other children with special needs that needed some help. Excuse me. I've got a tickle in my throat. She went on to teach children with some special needs, and she started to play around with, you know, these were children who needed more than the card games. And she started to play around with what to do and how do I do this and how do I get that solid foundation there. Out of that work, she devised an abacus, which I'm going to talk about a little bit here. You're going to be able to put some of the slides up and show how the abacus works. Then from there, we'll be back up. Like I said, she was an electrical engineer. When my brother was probably two or three, she went back to school and became a Montessori educator. So she went from engineering to Montessori educator, you know, so she knows now how the little 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 year olds are thinking.
Right.
You know, then she started the card games, worked with the abacus and did a few things, and then went back to school and got her master's in curriculum instruction. And she taught grades 6, 7, and 8. And that's where she went, oh my goodness, these kids, they have got to have that solid foundation. So she went back to school again and got her PhD in mathematics education with an emphasis on brain research. And out of that came the Right Start program. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I was newly married, and you know, I didn't really care what she was doing, and you know, but we would talk about it and stuff. But then once I started having babies, I was like, excuse, okay, what was that again now, Mom? Tell me about this. And so I actually started teaching my children this method.
Mm.
And so then, you know, different things happened over time. And real quick story, we live in a very small town. Like my one daughter graduated with a class of 11. I mean, so they're public school, but they're basically homeschooled at school. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
But my older daughter was having difficulties in math. And, you know, I was teaching her home and she wanted to take her abacus to the school with her.
Hmm.
And, you know, I have four children, so I'm a percentage of the population. So whatever I say goes. So I called the school up and said, hey, guess what? She's bringing an abacus to school. They're like, okay. Uh-huh. And about half a year later, I asked her something. I said, well, you know, do it on your abacus. And she said, I don't have it anymore. I said, well, where did it go? What do you mean? So, well, Laura's using it.
So
not Laura, her new one. And so Anna had one. But the thing is she used that abacus all the way through. And did very well in her math.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of it. Like you said, it's a multi-generation. Start with my mother, you with mm-hmm. my brother, myself, my daughter, actually all four of my kids have used it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and you know, I had talked to the writers of Unlock Math a couple weeks ago, and
yes.
and they were saying just how, you know, it's so much the, you know, getting things right the first time, you know, and mm-hmm. not having to go back and do things. And, you know, and that's, you know, as a family, you have, you know, set that pattern. And so yeah. that's so neat. And we talked about even talking math in the home, you know, and using that language. And I'm sure that you do,
yes.
you know,
yes.
and you use mathematical terms as regular terms because they're part of your life. And that's,
I'm kind of laughing because what we did with the kids, like I said, I had four kids in 5 years. So to get them to eat something like their broccoli or, you know, whatever I wanted them to eat, we would play a game. Okay. Take your age times two divided by three. And I'd have to sit there and figure out to make sure we'd end up with decent numbers.
Right.
And then if they would do this, they'd be shoveling in whatever it is they didn't want to eat.
Uh-huh.
But it was just, but we always did that. And they said, oh, can we play the game? Can we play the game? No, I don't. All right, fine. So take your age. That's actually how I taught them squares and square roots was just at the supper table.
Uh-huh.
You know, okay, take your age. Let's say they're nine. What's the square root of that? What does that mean? Well, you know, we have a little discussion. Oh, okay, answer's mm-hmm. three. Yeah. So, but you're right. You have to make it part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's otherwise way too abstract, and math mm-hmm. is around us everywhere, and we forget that because we're so used to seeing it in a book and then putting the book away.
Yep, exactly. But, exactly.
Yeah. Unless you're cooking a lot and multiplying, you know, recipes or whatever.
Yep. So exactly.
Anyways.
Yep.
All right. Well, I just want to let our viewers know that if you have any questions along as we're discussing, comments, make sure you put them in the feed, and we will definitely make sure we note them or we answer them as we're going along. So just so you know that, and we're glad that you have joined us for this live broadcast. So, did you want me to put up the first slide that you
yes,
had?
Let's go put up the first slide.
Okay.
So what we're going to be talking here about is building a solid math foundation. And that's like a house. You have to start with your number sense. You have to know what the numbers are. And then from there, you've got your place value that's going to kind of hold. I think we can see it. At least I can see it on my screen here, Peggy.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
I can see it there.
So then we've got the place value kind of is your kind of holding everything up. And then the walls are going to be your strategy and your visualization. That's going to be on the walls. Then you can build your solid understanding. So you have to have each one of these components in here. But traditionally, switch to the next one. We start with counting. And we start with, and you know, because we all do it. We all count. You know, teach your children to count. Oh, look, he can count to 20. He can count to whatever. So we, a lot of times, start with counting. Place value kind of gets addressed and kind of doesn't. And then you've got that memorization. And we all know how well that goes. I mean, sometimes you can get kids who are really, really good at it. And a lot of times you get kids that like, don't do the six, sevens, and eights. Thank you. Mm-mm. You know, because we do it. And the procedures, you might remember the procedures or let's see the area of the, you know, you don't remember. You don't remember what it
right.
is.
Yeah.
And then what happens from there is you kind of get understanding and kind of don't. So yeah. What we need to do is to come back to building that number sense with the place value, with the strategies and the visualization to build that solid. Yep, to build the solid one. That's what we need to do. Then, go ahead.
Okay, so.
Yep, let's go to the third one here.
Okay.
Okay, so since we have some children with some learning differences, there's a lot of myths about this with the kids, but I want to talk about the characteristics. The characteristics. Usually these children are more creative.
Yeah,
and as definitely. A parent, yes, and as a parent, that's kind of annoying sometimes, but they are creative. And right. That's what's going to be one of their benefits. So let's highlight that. Definitely. Let's expand that. Let's build on that. They cannot learn by rote, which means they cannot memorize. If they're not able to memorize, now what? So we have to find another way for them to learn this. They do not like worksheets. It doesn't make sense. I don't like it. You know, and everybody who has it, I mean, even children that don't have some learning differences don't like worksheets. But if we have some challenges, we really don't like worksheets. Children with learning differences need to understand it and sort so that they can make sense of it, so that they can remember it. Right. So it's not going to be something that we just randomly remember pi r squared because I don't know, Moses said so. I don't know. I don't know why it is. We have to understand why it is. And they have to then, if they can't remember what, they can come back to the understanding and come to the steps to come back to it, whatever it is.
So, you know, oftentimes we have parents who say, you know, my child always wants to know why they're doing this.
Right.
And those are those, and that's a good key indicator that you have one of these children.
Right. And the gifted also do this, of course. And sometimes it's a challenge because sometimes we don't know the answer. You know, why is it pi r squared? I'm not sure. Go ask your dad. You know, and we don't know.
Exactly.
You know, it's like for me, like I know how to subtract 4-digit numbers. I mean, hello, who doesn't? Why does it work? Ask your dad. I really don't know. And I really did not know until I started going through some of these things.
Yeah.
And so that sometimes is the challenge for us as parents with these children. They want to know why. They have to know why to figure it out. I don't know why. And I don't know where to find out why.
Right. Yeah. No, you know? I even took math history and they never taught us why. You know, it's nobody talks about that part.
Right, right. And that's one thing that I love about the way that we teach is that we've got the whys in there. Sometimes almost to the point of being annoying because it's like, oh, can we just figure this out? No, we have to know the whys so that if I forget it, I can come back and work my way through it.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
Children,
it makes so much more sense when they can visualize it and manipulate it, especially in their brain. And it's not just a series of steps because you can miss those series of steps so easily and understanding it as the larger picture and approaching it from different directions because math eventually will become, you know, that approach from different directions. It always isn't presented to you in the same format.
Because if you always come at something this way and it doesn't make sense to you coming this way, you may have to come at it this way or this way or this way. And so, and that would be ideal if you can find a curriculum that teaches it this way on Monday, this way on Tuesday, this way on Wednesday, not because we're trying to create chaos, but because Monday, okay, I kind of get it. Tuesday, oh, that's interesting. Wednesday, I don't like Wednesdays. Thursday, I get it.
You're
that's where we want the kids.
Exactly. I had tutored a young girl whose mom, she said, okay, I'm done. I can't teach algebra two. And so she was my babysitter and I said, okay, I'll teach it to you. And there were some times that I would have to come at it in five different directions before the light bulb clicked. And then she's like, oh, I get it.
You know, right.
But it's,
and that's, and that's what we needed.
The curriculum wasn't written that way. Fortunately, I understood it that way.
Right.
So it made it easier, but
And that's what we need. And so often again, if I don't understand it, the only way I know it is one way, and that may not be what my child needs or the way my child can understand it.
Right. Exactly.
The other thing that children with learning differences is they tend to be more visual.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, not like eyeballs, but they see things in their mind.
Right.
They can see the images. All humans see things visually. Some are very, very visual, and some are maybe not quite as much, but everyone can see things in their mind.
Yeah.
And so let's use that. We have it. Because, like, for example, if I would say, what does your kitchen look like? You don't have to jump up and go look. You know, you can just see it in your mind. Same thing happens to the kids. When I ask them what three looks like, some kids see the number three, the symbol three.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not three. That's a symbol. I want the quantity three.
Right.
So we need that visual image. And then, of course, hands-on. Who doesn't like to touch things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a quilt designer. I'll walk into a fabric store and go, oh, look at that blue. Well, you can't tell blue with your fingers, but I want to touch it.
Right.
You know, we all do. We all want to touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I kind of said, that the children with learning differences also store information in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Not words, but pictures. So we have to give them something to create the pictures.
Yes.
So this is when we've got a child with learning differences. Again, whether they be on this end of the spectrum or that end of the spectrum, they still need to be able to think in pictures and make sense of things.
Right. Yeah. Because then you're connecting all the dots.
Right.
And making it so much easier to carry out the steps and everything else that math, you know, just... So oftentimes it's just implied that someone's going to get all of that when you teach math on a worksheet. And it's
Few and what happens there a lot of times is they're just saying this symbol and this symbol equals that symbol because mom said so. They don't get why. They don't understand how it works.
Yeah.
So what we do is we have to give the kids the math in a way that they prefer. Mm-hmm. Which is going to be visual, which is going to be hands-on, which is going to be with understanding.
Right.
So that's where we need to work it with the kids, again, especially those with learning challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So we can flip over to the next slide.
Yeah, definitely.
We recommend, highly recommend, using an abacus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an abacus, by definition, is beads on a frame. It doesn't tell you how many, what value, what colors, and they vary greatly. Excuse me a second. Sorry. That was my grandson calling. We'll just never mind him. just a second. I'm sorry again. Okay. So sorry about that. Hopefully they won't call back again. I'll be quicker on the draw. Like I was saying, so we've got it. We've got the Chinese abacus. We've got the Japanese abacus. We've got the AL abacus. We've got different kinds. And I'm going to show you a few things with this and show you how this works. We want to think in pictures. You know, like I said, because the brain remembers it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you flip over to the next slide, we're going to start out with some visualization. So we're going to start out with first showing, and I'm kind of skipping some slides here just because I don't have all my slides and it's, you know, we can work with it. But you were going to start out by showing the children what does four look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does three look like? And you can put that quantity on the abacus. So when I do something like seven, you're going to see five on one hand, two on the other. And you can see on this slide here that when you slide the four and the three together, it equals five and two more, which is seven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different way of looking at it. And of course, the kids touch it. They can see that I've got four and three more.
Right.
Put it all together is seven. I have met children when I say four plus three equals, they don't understand that plus is the same thing as and.
Right.
But if I would ask them, what's four puppies and three more puppies? They're like, oh, seven puppies.
Yeah.
But if I say four plus three, I got to memorize that. You know, so you have to kind of, again, pull it back down to things that they can use, things that they can work with.
Exactly.
So this abacus is a visual and tactile manipulative that promotes subitizing. I don't know if you're familiar with that word. Subitizing is the instant recognition of a quantity.
Okay.
So if I were to put up this many, do you have to count?
No,
you can see it's three. It's right there. It's three. That's easy.
Right.
If I hold this up, five, you don't have to count. That's subitizing.
Okay.
And some children with learning challenges struggle with that. Make sure they get that so that when I ask Johnny, show me on your fingers four, he can do it without having to count it. He can see that this is four. That is very important. They have done much research on subitizing. It kind of hit the research world about 20, 25 years ago, this subitizing thing. And it's hitting mainstream about 5 years ago. People kind of talk about it. Some people know about it. Some people don't. Yeah. But you have to be able to subitize and work your way through that so that you can build on that.
Are there other ways to work on that other than just the fingers or, you know, like dice or what's
very good question. The best is to do it with hands. Okay. Because first of all, especially with a little one or a child who's got some challenges, we're comfortable with our hands. We know that. Mm-hmm. And five is always five. I don't have to look at it. I can always see that it's five. Mm. Whereas if I use dice, I've got the four dots, I've got three dots, I've got five dots, and they move around, five is always five. And if I take one away, it's still four. Mm-hmm. I take one away, it's three. It's not moving. I can see it.
Right.
One thing that our culture does, and it's not something that you've done as parents, but a culture has done, is we have the kids count. Mm. Count for mommy, one, two, three, four. But what happens, especially to a young child, sometimes children with some learning challenges, but especially young children, they think you're naming it. One, two, three, and here's number four. So you ask them, where's four? You say it's right there. Because I just named it, right? One, two, three, there's number four. Uh-huh. But you think about it, it's logical. Because if I were to name the children, John, Anna, Maggie, Matt, do you think that Matt includes all of them? No, Matt is an individual by himself, and we all know he's enough by himself. So, so wouldn't it make sense from a child's point of view that it's one, two, three, four, just like John, Anna, Maggie, Matt? So when you actually count, you're giving them a different perspective, an incorrect perception of quantity. So when you say, how old are you? I'm three. How old are you? I'm four. Can you show me six?
Got it. Yeah. And also counting, kids tend to then need to count to get to the right number. Yes,
they can't get away from it.
Right.
Right. And with my hands, I can only go to 10. But with the abacus there, if you look at that, you can go up to 100.
Exactly.
And you can see that in your mind. Again, we can build that image. So we've got the adding and we've got the visual strategies that we're going to work with this. Now, I'm going to kind of switch gears a quick second. I want to talk about place value because like I talked about, so if you want to catch the next slide, Peggy. We talked about in our house, the main thing that's coming up the center is that place value. So here I have 310 and six more. Now, we call that 36. But for a short spell, and I'm not talking like for years, I'm talking like for months, maybe, depending upon the age of the child, anywhere from months to maybe a week, couple weeks. We actually want the kids to call this number 3, 10, 6.
Yeah.
Very different. Now, this idea, Dr. Cotter, my mother, actually got this from the Asian cultures. This is how they say their numbers all the time. So their speed limit is 5, 10, 5. Their speed limit is 7, 10. We want the kids to do this for two reasons. One, for patterning. Think about it. If I say, we got patterning. If I've got 4 plus 3, like I was doing in the previous slide. So what do you think? And we know the answer is 7. So what do you think 4, 10 plus 3, 10 is? It'd be 7, 10. So what's 400 plus 300? 700. What's 4,000 plus 3,000 and 4 million plus 3 million? And my little guy wanted to know what 4 infinity plus 3 infinity was.
Yeah.
It's 7 infinity. Don't tell the other kids. But see, he got the pattern. But it's in our English language, we've got it confused because we say 4 million, 4,400. Doesn't it make sense to say 4,10?
Exactly. Yeah.
And we've got it goofed up from 11 to 99, compliments of the English language.
Right.
So we unmask it, call it 310, or in this case, 310, 6, for just a mm-hmm. short spell. You're not going to be the weird, freaky homeschoolers. We're going to come back to home at 3:10:06. So this is just a temporary thing. It's kind of like when the kids learn how to read.
Mm-hmm.
What do? Do you teach them A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Usually you teach them the sounds, a, mm-hmm. ba, ka, da, so that when right. I do k, at, cat, oh, cat.
Mm-hmm.
So you're teaching them the sounds. So we do the same thing with the numbers and teach them kind of the sounds of the numbers. So they're going to have 3:10:06. Its real name, of course, is 36,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds like 3:10:06. Then when I want to get into place value, how many tens are in 3:10:06?
Right.
It's right there.
Makes it super easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, what's your name, Bob? Let's see, how many tens are in 3:10:06? You know, how many tens would be in 4:10:02? It's right there.
It's right
place
there.
Place value becomes, it's really almost anticlimactic once mm-hmm. you understand mm-hmm. 11 to 99.
Right. Yeah. 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 I think that's usually the hardest thing is when you flip from that single digit to the double digit for kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after they get the double digit, then oftentimes the triple and that is becomes more understandable.
It becomes easy,
but
right.
That really is. And I never really thought about how our language is actually messing that up.
Oh, yeah. Well, you think about it. The Asians basically give their kids their numbers in neat little packets of tens.
Hmm.
We just like give a big toy box and say, all right, sort it out. See you later.
Right.
It makes it's very difficult. And no wonder why our kids are struggling. The Asian mm-hmm. children understand place value during first grade. Because again, 3:10:07. How many tens are in 3:10:07? It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas only half of the U.S. students by the end of fourth grade understand place value.
Right.
How many tens are in 46? 12, 17, I don't know.
Right.
You can't hear it, 46. You know, if I write it for you, a 4 and a 6, how many are in there? I don't know, it's a 4 and a 6. I don't see any tens.
Right, or they'll
add
them together.
It doesn't make any sense. Right, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to
no.
them.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, so that's mm-hmm. why do the transparent place value, the transparent number naming, and you call it 3:10:06. And again, on the abacus, you can see you have 1:10, 2:10, 3:10, and 6 mm-hmm. more.
Yeah.
And so it's grouping things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we do place value and highly recommend you do it that way. And again, you don't have to do it this way for every 3 weeks. Basically, mm-hmm. you're going to do this just for a short spell until they understand that 36, its other name is 3:10:06.
Right.
Now, one quick thing that I run into quite a bit when I talk to children who are a little bit older and I want them to come back and saying this, they kind of look at me like, not doing that.
Mm.
Okay. And what I do is I talk to them and I say, again, depending upon who it is, but let's just say I'm their mom. I would say, okay, what is my name? Well, your name is Kathleen. Well, what do you call me? Mama. Okay. So mama is kind of the secret name. Like if you get lost in Walmart, you don't say, hey, will mama please come up to the front? You say, well, Kathleen, please come up to the front because you know that's my real name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing here. The real name is 36, but like the secret name, the mama name is 3:10:06. And we're only going to use it at home. You know, it's a special one. You don't call me mama in front of your friends. You call me mom. You know, but mom is the secret special one. So same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
So use this with your kids. It will be huge. It'll be huge.
Yeah, definitely.
So, any questions on that, Peggy?
No, you know, and also pointing out, you know, the color differences with the blue and the yellow with the fives, you know, that is so important because we so easily distinguish 5 versus 10.
Yes.
And so, you know, I that's one of the things when I talked to your mom and saw this that I love because, you know, to differentiate those two is so important for kids, especially younger kids, when they aren't able to see all that 10 together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's easier to look at your one hand and say 5.
Right. Well, and you can see it because you've got 10 across the top this way. And then if you look down this way, you've also got that break. So you've got 5 tens.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 more tens.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's got that color change. So
right.
we can recognize it. We don't have to have 100 things, you know, 36 things that we can't see. It's 36. It's just a pile of beads. No, it's organized so we can see. Yep, we've got 10, got 3:10, and 6 more.
Right. And I also want to point out another thing, you know, when we do a lot of manipulatives in math, the thing I always hated is they were everywhere. You know, these subways stay in the same place.
Yes, exactly. And even if this does get shoved under the couch, the corner's still going to show.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, tell you what, if you flip over to the next slide, I'm going to show you another strategy. This is, again, we want the of our house. We want the strategies and the visualization. So the strategies, this one here, so first of all, what is a strategy? Strategy is a way to recall, to learn a new fact or to recall a forgotten fact. And if you can make it a visual strategy, that's all the better. Mm-hmm. So here, we're going to do 8 plus 6. The strategy is called the 2 5s, and we're doing 8 plus 6. So you can see I've got 8 on the first row, 6 on the next. Mm-hmm. Before I do anything, can you see the answer?
Oh, yeah.
Because look at that. How many blue beads?
Easily.
Yep. You can see the blue beads. There's your 2 5s. So that would be 10. And then look at your yellows. There's 4. Now, you don't have to count the 4. Again, you can subitize it. You can recognize it. I can see it's 4. I don't have to count it's 4. I can see it's 4.
Right.
And that's where we want the kids. So I've got 6. 8 and 6 is 10 and 4. And again, if I know the math way or the transparent way of saying the numbers, 10, 4 is also known as 14.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you can quickly see that. And of course, you can do this with, you know, 7 and 5. This is actually, it's kind of interesting. If you ask kids who use this abacus, something like 8 plus 6, you know, they'll give the answer 14. How'd you know that? They'll say, because I have an abacus in my mind. And when I first heard that, I went, oh, yeah, right, whatever. Well, then that's actually how I do it. Because remember I said I was the firstborn. I was the drill and kill child. Mm-hmm. I can now add 6, 7s, and 8s because I actually see the abacus in my mind. Mm-hmm. I actually see it. So which is, it was just kind of
you're really, you know, moving your child towards, because they're not going to have this device with them all the time.
No.
But that is.
And that's actually, and that's actually a very good point, because we want the children to start out with the physical abacus. I can see it. I can touch it. It's right here. I've got it. And then we move to an imaginary. An imaginary can go one of two ways. It will either be an abacus I can see in front of me, but I'm not going to touch it. But I'm just going to kind of pretend to move the beads, but I can see it. Or you will have a pretend abacus. There's nothing here. And I'll use my real finger to move my pretend beads. And you can go, kids will go one way or another. I have one of my daughters actually went both ways, but most will go one or the other. And then you go to a mental abacus where you just kind of like, okay, yeah, I got it. So you don't actually try to move it. You don't actually see it. You just do it all in your mind.
Right.
And the kids will move to that. But if you're using something like this and you do 8 plus 6 and your kids are over there starting to finger count again, get your abacus back out, because they have not got this in their mind yet.
Right. That's a good point because, they will revert until they're comfortable or have ingrained to that point.
Until they get this. It's kind of like, if you ever had it where you bought a new car and you park it, you look really pretty. Or like even sometimes I've actually washed my car and then I go back home, I can't find it because it's like supposed to be mud brown. It's like, that's right. It's a white one. You know, I forget what it looks like because in my mind, it's always mud brown. Mm-hmm. We live on gravel. So, but it's, you have those problems because you haven't got a mental image. Mm-hmm. And until you get that mental image in your mind, oh, it's a white van. Or that's right. I got that really new red, cool red car. Whatever. You don't get that. You can't see it. You have to think about it. Same thing with the abacus. If I can't see 6 plus 8, I need to use the abacus until I can see it in my mind.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And so I think oftentimes parents think it's going to be a crutch that this child has, you know, that they're going to be carrying it with them to college.
But
that gives them hope.
Yes. And they won't. I promise, because they're going to develop such power, such delight in being able to not have to use it. Now, sometimes some kids, you know, if they've been struggling, you give them the abacus, and oh, I've got it. It works. You may have to challenge the child and say, hey, can you do it today and just not touch it? No. Okay, we'll try it tomorrow. But you're going to work your way through it until you get to the point where they don't need to have it in their hand. They can just have it in their mind. And that's where we want them. But let them use the abacus as long as they need to.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's not something that you want to take away, because like you see, what we're talking about is those foundations. And if that foundation is in place, it's going to make everything else come back together, versus, you know, trying to rush them through that and say, well, you should really be done with this.
Right. And well, I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a good point. Well, tell you what, let's put up the next slide here.
Definitely.
So we've taught, so we've taught our kids some addition facts. They're working with it. How do we get them to be good with it?
Hmm.
We're going to have them play games. Again, especially children who are dealing with some learning challenges, or maybe they're gifted.
Hmm.
They don't want to do worksheets. I mean, would you want to do one of their worksheets? No. So we're going to play games.
Mm-hmm.
Games are to math like books are to reading.
Hmm.
We get good at how do we get good at reading books? Or excuse me, good at reading. We read books, preferably interesting books.
Right.
So we're going to do the same thing with math. Nobody wants to do worksheets. Yuck! Who wants to do flashcards? So how are we going to practice it?
Right.
We're going to play games. Mm-hmm. The games provide the repetition that's needed for the automatic responses, and more importantly, the games provide an application for the new information.
So those kids why.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you think your son really cares what 8+6 is? No, he does not. But wait a minute. If daddy's going to be home and I can beat daddy at a game, I am all over this. Quick, let's work on this. Okay, 8+6, it's 14. Okay, well, daddy comes home at 14. We've got a reason to want to learn.
Yeah.
Somebody told me a story once about a young boy who was, you know, working with it, and he was playing games and stuff. I think he was working on his multiplication, and mom told him, go to bed, you know, tucked him in, turned off the light, and went back in to check on him a little bit later. And there he was under the covers with his flashlight working on his multiplication facts because he wanted to beat his dad the next night at games. Okay, we got a problem with, I told you to go to bed, but what an awesome problem.
Right, exactly. Doing school late into the night.
Yeah. But that's where we want them. We want to give them an application, a reason to learn, a reason to care. Because right now, I promise you, your kids do not care what 8+6 is. They don't care.
Mm-hmm. And we lose so many kids that, you know, they just stop learning because they get so frustrated with no application and not really understanding, you know, where is this going? And so giving them that incentive is so important.
There's actually, and most people don't quite think of it this way, but there's actually 390 math facts. And that's if you just go up to the 10 times 10 or the, you know, the 10 plus 10s. You know, some people like to go to the 12s or the 15s. I won't even talk about how many that is.
Yeah.
Why? Mm. The other part that a lot of people don't realize, I'm going to kind of go off a little bit on a soapbox here.
Yeah. Please do.
Is that we have children. Well, first of all, arithmetic is addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. Yeah. That is one out of about 200 branches of math.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a child who is not good in arithmetic, let them use a calculator. Now, hopefully the kids were listening, because of course mom wins. If mom says you have to do it. But I would strongly encourage you to use a calculator if you have a child who's really struggling, because they may not be good in arithmetic, but they may be phenomenal in statistics or in trig or in geometry or in, you know, in all the different kinds of math that are out there. Now, as somebody who, I shouldn't tattle on myself, but as somebody who struggles with arithmetic, I use a calculator. Now, would my life be easier if I knew them all? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But when I don't, I use a calculator, or I've got my own ways of figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, my life would be easier if I did know it, but I am really, really good in math. I'm just not that good in arithmetic.
Yeah. I think we bundle it all together and we don't realize that math has so many different forms.
Exactly.
And it's so funny because you talk to so many people that say, well, I was good at geometry. That was the only math I ever did well at, you know?
Yeah.
But they still don't think of that as being
good at math.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, that's just criminal when you've got, you know, a child who never gets beyond multiplication because they never got that memorized. And in fact, they may be the next huge breakthrough in something, and we can't get them past this. They let them use a calculator. You know, I mean, yes, their life is going to be easier if they have it, but if they don't have it, we can adapt.
Right. Exactly. And as you get into higher math, you know, that they do, it becomes the simple part of the mathematics that can be substituted. And oftentimes in higher math, you do use like programs to figure out all that simple part. It's understanding how everything comes together that becomes
right. And also being able to estimate, you know, if I've got 4 plus 5 is 5,986. Okay, that's not right. Because I know that it's not going to be in the ballpark. You know, so you always want to check to see. I mean, can you estimate? Can you look at something and say, was that a logical answer? No, that wasn't a logical answer. Hmm. You know, so you kind of being able to understand it. And that kind of comes back to your number sense, you know, which was that base foundation on it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So what kind of games are you talking about?
Well, we've got, actually, Dr. Cotter has developed over 300 different games. We've got a book. It's cleverly called Math Card Games. But I know we said, gee, what could you name? How about Math Card Games? But it's, in that book, we've got addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, fractions, clocks, money, all these games. A very simple game for your again, depending upon if they're younger ones or children who are struggling with some of the basics. Remember the game Go Fish?
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you've got your cards in your hand and you try to have a 2 match a 2 and a 6 match a 6. It's not really rocket science.
Right.
We want our pairs to be things that equal 10. So 2 needs what to make 10? Use it on my abacus. Mommy, do you have an 8? Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Okay, so I put that down. Okay, so see, now I've got a 7. 7, no, my abacus. 7 needs 3. Mommy, do you have a 3? No, go fish. It's their math facts. They will play it for hours to the point that you will cheat to lose to get out of there, which is bad parenting, but, you know, hey, it happens.
Oh, yes, I've done that before.
Oh, look, I lost. Shoot. Yeah. Another one, again, another addition example. Remember the game of war? You lay down 2 cards. Whoever has the higher one takes it again. Another rock. Yeah. Oh, shoot, I lost again. Yeah. Each of you lay down 2 cards. Add them up. Whoever has the higher total takes all 4 cards.
Ah.
It's a worksheet. Again, the kids will play it for hours. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to play with them, then have their stuffed animal play against them. Have dad play. Borrow a neighbor kid. I mean, the parents would probably pay the neighbor kid to come over to your house. You know, give you money to have their kid working with your kid.
Right.
But play the games. There's multiplication games. There's fraction games. We actually have some apps for both Google for Androids and Apple. We've got the Go to the Dump. It's called Go to 10 game. That's a Go Fish game. We've got a Fraction War game. We've got a new game that just came out called Super Corners. And that's a game based on adding things that equal multiples of 5. So 5, 10, 15, and 20. And that is a fun game.
Neat.
That's a fun game. So again, we got some games out there that again help the children practice their facts.
Right. So can people find those on your website or
you can go on our website. I think down at the bottom it says get apps. Otherwise you can go to wherever it is you get your store your apps at. Again, one of them is called Go to 10.
Okay.
Another one is Fraction War. I know, very clever name.
Yes.
And then the other one is Super Corners. And Super Corners, I think till the end of May is only 99 cents, and then it's going to go up to $1.99. So if you want it, I'd get it right now because the price will be going up. It's kind of an intro price. It just came out. It's the new hot game right now.
Oh, wonderful. And your website is rightstartmath.com?
Correct. Yep. Yes. RIGHT startmath.com. Yep.
Great.
Yep, so we can play the games. So let's advance a little bit more. Let's look at, if you want to switch to the next slide, look at multiplying on the abacus.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we have 6 taken 4 times.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what multiplication means? Because sometimes kids don't know it.
It is. It's a difficult jump.
Right. It is. And so here I can see 6. Okay, I see 6 there, 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I can group that. I see 2, I see 10, and then a second 10, so I 2, 10, and the yellows make 4. 2-10-4, also known as 24.
Mm-hmm.
Little side note, and this is actually, I think this epiphany came to me about probably about 2 years ago. It's a relatively new one. It's kind of embarrassing given the color of my hair. But anyhow, you know, when you look at the multiplication chart, you know, you've got the 1 through 10 across the top and you've got the 1 through 10. And if I take 6 times 4, the answer says it's 24. Did you know that there's actually 24 little boxes in there?
There is. I didn't know that.
I know. Isn't that just awesome? I know. I tell people that and they're like.
But that would make sense because that's
like what it is.
A square footage of 6 and 4 would be 24 squares.
Right. Well, even look at the abacus I'm showing on the screen there. It's 6 4 times. Of course it would be 24. But in my world, the number 24 was just in there. And so that was the answer. I had no idea there was linkage.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that just neat? Because again, all you need is someone to point you to that or to help you discover it. And then it's like, oh, well, of course, 10 times 10 is 100. What else do you think it would be?
Right.
You know, it just, but you see it, you look at it from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we want the kids, is we want them to understand it and to be able to visualize it. So that when they say 6 times 4, I can see 6 4 times. Well, that's right. That'd be 2, 10, 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's multiplication on there. If you flip to the next one, we've got another multiplying. This one's 9 times 3. Oops, go back one. Maybe we don't have that one there. Okay. Well, then never mind. We don't have the 9 times 3.
Okay. But we can visualize it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But if you do 9 times 3, you can see 9 three times. But if I'd say how many beads are on the 3 rows all together. There's 10 in a row, so there'd be 3 of them, that'd be 30 all together, minus the 3 I didn't include. So 9 times 3 is the same thing as 10 times 3 minus those 3. Answer's 27.
Yeah.
So again, the abacus gives you a visual image and an understanding as to why. And so we don't have to just hope our kids are some of those math geniuses that just figure things out. Let's give it to them the way the smart math people do things. And this is how they do it.
Yeah. Yeah. We expect them to fill these gaps on their own when we teach them in the traditional method. And it just naturally, our brains are not wired to do that.
Exactly. Right. Right. So. All right, so the next slide I have, I know we're just kind of running out of time, but we have to talk about fractions because that is guaranteed to make people cry.
No kidding.
I usually say if we don't kill them off in multiplication, we kill them off in fractions. I mean, hopefully you're not doing that, but it happens a lot. We propose a linear fraction chart. So as you can see there, we've got 1 broken into 2 equal pieces. The next row is broken into 3 equal pieces. Next row is broken into 4 equal pieces, 5 equal pieces, 6, 7, 7s. Who uses the 7s? Well, if you don't have the 7s in there, you can't see the pattern.
Right.
Because if I just had 1s, halves, or the 1, half, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8ths, 10ths, 12ths, you wreck the pattern. You can't see how it's working. So you have to have them all in there. By the way, notice when I did that, I said half, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. In math class, make sure you call it fourth, not quarter. Because again, you interrupt the pattern. If I say half, third, quarter, fifth, sixth, or I could say half, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. It makes so much more sense calling it 1/4.
Right.
Or 3/4. Again, it clears up that understanding for them. So looking at this chart, if I were to ask you, so use the chart as a reference, how many fourths are in a whole?
Well, it's easy. You just look at what goes all the way across and then you see that.
You can see you've got 4. Exactly. I have met adults who don't know how many eighths are in a whole.
Really?
Really. And I'm embarrassed to say that some of them have been teachers. It's embarrassing. But again, if you don't know that, of course, fractions is complete chaos.
Right.
So yeah. Make sure they know. So how many six would be in a hole?
Right.
Be six of them. If you don't know, go ahead and count them. There's six of them.
Right.
So how many fourths equal a half?
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can see it. Yeah, I've got two fourths equal a half. How many eighths equal a half?
Right.
You can look. You can see there would be four. Four eighths equal a half. How many sevenths equal a half? I've actually had people say, you can't do that. Yes, you can. Look at it. It's right there. There's three and a half of them.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And there's no rule that says we can't do three and a half sevenths. Mm-hmm. We don't usually call it that, but it's right there. I can do three and a half sevenths.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we need to use a linear fraction chart that includes the sevenths and the ninths so they can see that whole picture of the fractions.
Yeah. Yeah, because we often will jump right into fractions after adding, and then we never cover the subject of pictorially what those represent. Sometimes we'll use pie charts, but that it's really difficult to see that in the pie.
Experts have actually said not to use pie charts. They've done studies with that, not to use pie charts. They say we think in a line, so let's give it to them in a line. Well, that's easy. That this is the way you want it. Now, one other thing with this chart, notice it's not colored. Because we've all seen the colored ones, you know, where the halves are orange and these are green and yellow, pink and blue and whatever. Well, two things. The reason why we don't want it this way, two reasons. One, you get color, you get sometimes, most of the time it's boys who are color deficient, formerly known as colorblind. You know, and so they've got shades of gray. Oh, that's useful for them. And the second thing is sometimes you get kids like me, I'm very color sensitive. I am not going to let my red one half touch my orange sixth. I can't do it. It just bothers me. It's not going to work. So why bother? It's beautiful as is. Let them have it this way where they don't have to deal with any issues or any hangups. Just give it to them plain and simple. It's beautiful as is. You do not need to color it.
Yeah. So when you give this to a child and you have them work with it, how long does it take them usually to embed it? Just like, you know, we were talking with the abacus I'm sure there's a range, but for some kids that maybe struggle a little bit more.
It becomes more of an exploratory thing. So actually what we recommend is you keep one of these intact and one you can have in pieces. So I would actually take my one half and I would go put it on it and I would kind of move around it so it becomes more of a manipulative. It's active. It's not just a passive chart. It's active.
Okay.
So, for example, when I'm playing like a fraction war game, the very simple one is I would just have the halves, fourths, and eighths. And then I would lay down what's more, one half or five eighths. And I just have those there and I can see, oh, yeah, five eighths is going to be more than one half.
Right.
And again, and so pretty soon, and I would say it can depends upon the kids, but most kids usually after about a half hour of playing, they've got this. Real quick story about my younger son. He was playing this one time, and I don't think I laid down like three fourths. He laid down seven eighths. He said, "Mom, I beat you by an eighth." Give me that chart. You're right. Look at you go. You know, and I hadn't really even thought about it. And that wasn't the point of the game, but he was already starting to make those connections.
Wow.
So it goes really fast because, again, they're understanding how it's put together. And it's very simple. You don't have to memorize. You can just see it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it makes fractions so much more simple than any other way I've seen approached.
Yep, it does. So the next slide I've got is basically kind of a summary. You know, when you think about it.
Slide also.
Oh, we don't have that. Okay, do we have the last one talking about the how to think?
Nope, I didn't have that.
No worries. Okay. So then what I was just going to quick say is that you just like we think about reading. When we teach children to learn how to read and decode phonics, it's so much more, you know, let me back up. Reading is so much more than just decoding and the phonics. Mm-hmm. It's understanding and hearing the story and the beauty and the travels that you have and the information you get from reading. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with math. It's not just your arithmetic. It's your exploring of it. And it's the beauty of it and the joy and the excitement. Mm-hmm. That's where we want our kids.
Yeah. Yeah, because they embrace it then. It's part of life. You know, it is
exactly
something in a book that, again, I take out, I do, and then I put away.
Right. It's something that should be, it should be breathing and thinking and wondering and experiencing the joy of it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just have a couple minutes left.
Okay.
If any of you that are watching live have a question or a comment, definitely put it up now before we end. But this has just been great information, Kathleen, that you've shared. And again,
well,
you know, back to that foundation, you know, the place values and just having kids conceptualize just the basics of how to build off of, you know, the
to just get that solid foundation.
Really, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they can build
because
from there.
Always, they're always questioning that, that's where you're going to get the most struggles is, is you're always going to be doing this. We've got Elaine says, this was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Glad I could be here.
So I just want to thank you for your time, Kathleen.
Well, thank you. This was wonderful.
And I do recommend for people to check out Right Start Math, and it's just rightstartmath.com. And just to look at their curriculum or your supplementary stuff, the Abacus, you know, you can definitely use it if you're already using something else that is working for you, but to make it visual, highly recommend doing that just for the reasons we've been talking about.
You know, and the games are something that is very easy to pull into any curriculum. I don't care what you're using. I don't care if your children are in school. I don't care if you're looking for summer stuff. I don't care if you're, you know, whatever program you're using, it's so easy to work the games in. You know, if you're looking for a full curriculum, the Right Start program is based in levels. So you don't have to take an older child and go, oh, we're going to go back to kindergarten. No, you're in level A or B because you're awesome. You're beautiful. You're cool. You're a dude. Mm-hmm. You're, you know, it. We place them by their levels. You, again, have a curriculum that you're using, but you'd like to get some of the Abacus worked in there, we've got, you can buy the Abacus by itself. We've got a book called The Activities for the AL Abacus. Which is kind of like an encyclopedia. So you can go in, find, oh, there, that page, flip to that page and teach that particular concept that your other curriculum was discussing, but we needed another approach to it.
Yeah.
So there's a number of different ways we can.
You're continually doing the same thing over and over again and it never clicks with your child.
Yes, exactly.
And you know you need a different approach.
Exactly. You know, and that's something you can give us a call. We can certainly help you out with where to place your child or what supplements will work best.
Ask you about that.
Yep. Good. And we can be reached toll free 888-272-3291. So again, that's 888-272-3291. You can also email us at info@rightstartmath.com. And of course, we've got our website, rightstartmath.com.
So I'm going to put that number up quick.
Okay.
So that people can see that.
Okay.
And also I have another person that says that they love your Abacus. So.
Oh, good. Good. I am glad.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, thank you. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you very this much. And everybody have a wonderful evening. Yep.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Oh, and we just appreciate you taking out time out of your busy schedule. I know that you are off to a lot of conventions and speaking and sharing all of this with many people. So we just thank you for your time.
Well, thank you. And keep an eye out for us. We're at a lot of conventions this year. We've got some fantastic people who are speaking and can help you with your kids. And again, let us know what we can do to help your children be everything they want to be.
Yes, definitely. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Kathleen.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. All right. So I just want to thank you for joining us on Sped Homeschool Conversations. Next week, we're actually going to be taking the week off because it's a holiday week. And so you won't be seeing me next Tuesday for the Memorial Day holiday weekend. But the following week, we'll be talking about spelling and multisensory methods for building spelling and also building in biblical truth into your spelling lessons with your children. And so you'll definitely want to join us for that. And for the weekend in between, so next weekend, if you happen to be in Texas and are near the Woodlands, our team and I will be at the Texas Homeschool Coalition's conference in the Woodlands, Texas. So maybe we'll see you there.
As will Wright start.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we will be there also. Yeah.
Awesome. So, and as always, you can make sure to keep visiting our website for all of our new content and also consider supporting us as a donor or a prayer partner. We're going to be putting up a prayer, just a way that you can pray for our ministry and outreach as we continue to grow. And we just thank you for that support. So thank you for joining us again on this live broadcast, or for those of you who are joining us on our taped version, we appreciate it. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.